This is Columbia Morning at News Talk 1400 KFRU. I've spent some time reading The Spinning Magnet. The subtitle is The Electromagnetic Force That Created the Modern World and Could Destroy It. The author is an award-winning science writer and also the author of Seasick, The Global Ocean in Crisis. Alana Mitchell joins us right now to talk about The Spinning Magnet. Welcome to the program. Good morning. How are you today?
That's great. Thanks, David. I'm super.
This book, as I was telling you off the air, I had no idea. I guess this is going to show my ignorance, but I had no idea that there was such a process in trying to figure out electromagnetism and what I just take for granted. There are poles. There are magnetic poles, and I can remember playing with magnets and where the ends would pull each other together and when they would repel. I just thought it was something that was kind of a given. There was this body of knowledge about magnets that was fixed. We discovered it, and let's move on from there. You have destroyed my faith in that.
You know, it was a long, long journey of scientists over, you know, thousands of years to try to piece it all together. And you know, the part that amazed me so much was that so much of this science has been discovered within your lifetime and mine. Some of the basic fundamental stuff about how the planet works in this way is very new.
It is, indeed. But at the same time, I was taken by people like, and I'm going to probably mispronounce some names here, but there was a man by the name of Peregrinus something back there.
Yeah.
And he wrote, as you put it out in the book, I think he had only one thing that exists of his writing, but it seemed to be a seminal discovery. So somebody like that, and if I remember right, that is either in the 13th century or the 14th century.
That's right. He was the first one his name was Peter Peregrinus, and it meant that he traveled around. He's a crusader. And on one of the crusades, he spent a whole bunch of time in Italy, and he was trying to figure out what the magnet was. And he was the one who worked out that it doesn't matter how many, you know, how small you cut a magnet, it still has these two poles.
Mm-hmm.
And so he began to envision this whole idea that transformed the nature of science, which was that you could experiment, that was new, but also that a magnet had its own innate strength, that it was always there. And that was totally revolutionary at the time. People thought that magnets were just magical or that they were transient, and he got a glimpse of something that was far more permanent.
While you're talking about magnets of being magical, I also then am reminded of a section that where you talk about a man by the name of William Gilbert, and one of the things he did was he took on some of the folklore. Let me just read a couple of these things for my listeners. Assertions about the mysterious powers of magnets had expanded over the centuries. Gilbert decried the idea that a lodestone placed under the head of a sleeping woman would force her from her bed if she had committed adultery. Nor could a magnet make a woman like her husband better or induce one to become melancholic or smooth-tongued. It could not cure stab wounds. Boy, they sure had great hopes for magnets, didn't they?
They sure did, absolutely. And of course, you know, Gilbert was another one. He published in 1600 the first comprehensive, after Peregrinus, the first comprehensive look at what a magnet actually was. And he's the one who came up with the idea, and it was true, that the Earth itself is a magnet, that the magnetic force of the planet comes from within, and that the planet itself is a whole big, huge magnet. And this was just, again, a completely new idea, and it turns out that it's true. That's why we have a North Pole and a South Pole, because our planet is a magnet.
And so along the way, then, we've just hit two of the discoveries that were important along the ways of discovering about electromagnetism or magnets. You spend some time, one of the themes or threads through the book is tracking down kind of something. The last name of the man is Brun. It doesn't look like that. It's Brunhes, for those who might want to look him up, but I think you say it's pronounced Brun.
Yep.
He discovered that the poles had shifted. Is that what his basic discovery was?
That was the fundamental. That was his. He's a little bit obscure still, but in fact, our current magnetic era is named after him. He's the one. I love this story. In 1905, he gets on a horse. He lives in the middle of France. He's a geophysicist. He gets on a horse with his chisels in a backpack, and you know, takes a day's journey down to another part of France, and hacks a chunk of terracotta out of the earth. And when he analyzes this terracotta, he realizes that when it was heated up and cooled down by a volcanic eruption over top of it, at that time, 5 million years earlier, the poles on the Earth, of the Earth were on different sides of the planet from where they were in 1905 when he hacked out this little chunk of terracotta. And he published a paper on it in 1906. And again, it spoke of anarchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the scientific world could understand how this could possibly be. It just befuddled them. They had no explanation.
So people are going to have to read your books to figure out how this happens. But can you've teased people now who are listening. How does I think that happened, 780,000 years ago?
780,000 years ago was the last time that the poles reversed. So what happens is that our magnetic field, we now know, we've known this for some decades now, our magnetic field is generated within our core. So there's a solid inner core, and then there's a molten liquid metallic outer core, and then there's the mantle, and then there's the crust. Those are the four pieces of the Earth, really, mm-hmm. and they're concentric. So the magnetic field is generated within this metallic molten outer core, and it's very turbulent, incredibly turbulent. And every now and again, and so episodically, you could say every 300,000 years or so, every now and again, things get so disturbed in there that the poles, our north and south poles, become overwhelmed by these other magnetic factions or cabals within this core, and things get so disturbed that the poles begin to change places, and that process takes hundreds, if not thousands, of years. We're still not sure exactly how long it takes, and so they migrate, they start to move, and so for that whole period of time, instead of having two poles, we have maybe four, maybe six, maybe eight, depending on how these other magnetic factions within the outer core react to all this stuff, and eventually our major poles, our north and south, flip to the other sides of the planet, so they reverse.
See, this is
this is
one of those things where people like to say, "You just blew my mind." But see, I'm listening to this and I'm reading your book and I'm thinking, "This just blows my mind." I would never have ever thought that would happen. Now, is it also true, because I thought that you referred someplace in your book that, as you say, this is a long process, maybe, of where the North Pole is now becoming the South Pole and the South Pole becoming the North Pole, but if it takes a long time, has that already happened in some spots in this current, wherever we are in the process of changing poles?
It's not clear. We still have a North Pole and a South Pole, but things are very volatile at the moment. So our North Pole magnetic pole is moving really, really fast through the Arctic. So it's going at 40 miles an hour to the northwest, 40 miles, a year to the northwest up in the north. So that's a signal that things are very, very turbulent in this core that I was talking about. But as well, it's reversed over a portion of the southern hemisphere, right at the core. So that means that there's a weakening of the field right over the, you could say from Africa over to the other side of South America, below the equator. It's called the South Atlantic Anomaly. And so in that spot, the field, this magnetic field that protects us because of, the reason that we, everybody's studying this is because this magnetic field of ours protects us from solar and galactic radiation. So in part of the southern hemisphere, it's gotten soft, it's gotten weaker. And so we don't know for sure whether these poles are beginning their reversal. It's unclear. They just don't know enough about it yet. But we know that things are very, very turbulent, that the field itself is weakening, that the North Pole is on the really cantering through the north, and that there's this big chunk over the south of the southern hemisphere that is very weak at the moment.
So folks, I've given you something else to worry about today, basically, by doing this interview with my guest. Let me that is disturbing enough, and I could get off track and I could talk about all the calamity that is going to occur when that happens. But I want to ask you something on a more today type of curiosity that I had. When I get in my car and my direction finder in my car says that I'm going south or southwest or north or northeast, or when I pull out my smartphone and I use the compass function and it is telling me I'm going north, am I really going north? Because as I read you talk and what you just said, it's moving, and the geographic North Pole is not the same as the magnetic North Pole. I don't understand how that doesn't throw us into major confusion.
Yeah, that has bedeviled navigators for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And so what your compass is reacting to is the magnetic north. So So you're going north-ish.
But that's not consistent then. That's not consistent. It's changing. I think because of something like declination or inclination or something like that.
Declination, yeah. So that's the difference between where the compass points and where the geographic North Pole is. And so the compass adjusts for that in your car. So you're pretty much going where you think you're going.
You know, this is a nasty book. This is really No, I'm teasing you because I learned so much from this. This is truly an informative book, but it throws so much of certainty now. I mean, it's like a man who won't stop to ask directions because now I can turn to my wife and say, it doesn't matter if I ask directions. I'm not going that direction anyway.
So, now you're getting philosophical.
Hey, you know what? I've read enough of your book to know that there was a lot of philosophy that was going on when these people were making their discoveries, and they were going head-to-head against the religious leaders of their time.
It's true. Absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fascinating. I mean, the read is really amazing, and it's so educational. It's called The Spinning Magnet, The Electromagnetic Force That Created the Modern World and Could Destroy It. The author is Alana Mitchell, and she's been our guest. Been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much. I really do like what I've read and what I'm finding out about something that I thought was already settled, but it's not.
Thanks so much, David.
Thank you. Alana Mitchell has been our guest. This is News Talk 1400 KFRU.